All right, I will get into announcements after we do our first song, which is going to be number 588. Joshua will lead us in the singing. Again, we are going to do it a cappella. So Joshua will lead us through the song 588. I don't know what the title is, but you can get started.
588 is Work for the Night is Coming.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid the springing flowers. Work when the day goes brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming, when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming, when man works no more. Work for the night is coming, under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, work for the daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth, fadeth to shine no more. Work for the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Well, thank you, Joshua, for leading us through that. I think that was new to, it was new to me.
So, new to me too.
New to him. Okay, so we're all learning together. All right, welcome everyone again. Great to have you all with us. Wow, there's quite a group here this morning. As I look out there, I don't see many empty seats. As I think most of you would know, Pastor Matt and Winetta and Sean and Valerie are off to the Continental Baptist Missions annual Bible conference in Iowa, and I think they're all still in transit, not quite there yet, worshiping in other churches, but we'll certainly be keeping them in prayer. All right, let's open in a word of prayer, and then I'll do the announcements. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for your love for us, again, which you demonstrated in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that we have a Savior that we can serve and praise and worship. And Lord, we pray that you would be with our service today. We do pray that you would help us in every piece of it as we fill in for those that we're used to having here. We do pray, Lord, that you'd continue to be with Joshua as he leads the singing. Be with Brother Allen as he brings your word to us, and be with all of us as we give attention to your word, that we truly would, that it would be that our worship would be honoring to you. Lord, we do pray for Pastor Matt and Winetta and for Sean and Valerie as they are on their way to the conference that begins tomorrow. We pray, Lord, you bless as they visit with family and friends and worship in other churches today. We pray that you would keep them safe in their travels and bless them and build them up through the conference, that they would return back refreshed, energized, and with fresh ideas to help us to serve you more effectively, Lord. We ask again for your blessing upon our time together, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if all, you would all stand now, and Tom is going to read, what is the passage? Matthew 16, 24 to 28. Thank you, Tom.
Good morning, everybody.
Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself
and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, be there some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen.
Here we are. I want to thank Tom for the reading of the scripture. He read my text for me, and I so enjoy his ministry to us. Don't you love that voice? I mean, that's just a scripture reading voice, you know, and I appreciate it very much, Tom. Thank you for doing that ministry. So we are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 16. I specifically am preaching out of the New King James Version. Tom read you the King James Version. I have no issues with either one, but this one just works for me, and I've just about wore it out, as you can tell. This is the second preaching Bible that I have wore out over the years. But here we are, and before we really dive into this passage, this is a passage of Scripture that Jesus gives us, and he gives us one of the most clear and concise summarizations of what it means to be a disciple, to serve Jesus, to follow him. One of the most concise and summarizing ones that we can find in the Holy Scripture. And so it's going to present us with a little bit of the cost and some of the rewards. And so we're going to share that in a little bit. But before we dive deep into that, first of all, I'm going to pray. Second of all, I'm going to share a little bit about who I am and where. Why you're probably sitting there thinking, who is this fool? What's he doing standing before us, right? So let's pray before we get into that. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. And we just pray, Lord God, that even now the Spirit would start to prepare our hearts, to prepare our understandings, that we might hear from you first and foremost. Father, that your word would speak to us and teach us from the depths of the truth that we find here. And so, Father, as we look into your word, may we be blessed by it. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? And maybe most importantly, why is he standing there before you today? This is a privileged position. This is a position of honor and yet great responsibility. Huge responsibility. And it should never be taken lightly. And I feel very honored that Pastor Matt was willing to ask me to fill in. And I'm honored that you're willing to come and listen to what God may be laying upon my heart, because hopefully, as he lays it upon my heart, he lays it upon your heart as well. And so that's kind of where we're at today. And so I'm going to start. Some of you, or a good portion of you, have heard my salvation experience. It was about when I was 12 years old in a Bible camp in Colorado, up in the foothills from Denver. Camp Idrahaji, it's still in works today, is still in business doing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I sat through that camp that week on Wednesday evening, the counselor in our teepee, we stayed in teepees, they had a wood floor, but they were teepees. And the counselor shared the plan of salvation. And it dawned on me for the very first time that I needed a savior. That I was a wretched sinner that was lost and going to hell. And that I needed salvation. And so as the invitation was given, I raised my hand. And I accepted Jesus Christ that night. Now, unfortunately, when I got home, the church that we went to a time, not very consistently, but it was a community church. And I'm sure that there's some good community churches out there, but this one was a catch-all, right? Everybody came. Y'all come. Bring your beliefs, but we won't talk about those beliefs because they're differences. And so we won't discuss doctrine, and we don't discuss things that may cause trouble. And quite honestly, I grew none. Until there was an opportunity in junior college. So this is from 12 years old till 19 years old. I met my dear wife, who grew up in church and was well taught, well discipled in many, many ways. And she's got her own testimony, and I'll not share that, but she began to talk to me about simple things like baptism. I'd never heard about baptism. And yet, you know what Jesus said? He gave you three commands. As you go to make disciples and to baptize and to teach. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand. I didn't know. Nobody had told me because it was debatable. And so in 1979, I was baptized by immersion and followed the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience by displaying what had already happened in my life. Now, in between, there was a lot of rocky roads. This guy sowed a lot of wild oats from time to time. At one time, I used to brag I drank enough Coors beer to float a battleship. But God began to do a work in me. Denise and I got married in 1978. She took a great risk on me. But it's worked out. We've been married for 45 years and still going. As our first child came along, I began to be moved by God that I needed to do more. Now, we started going to church fairly regularly. We didn't go to the community church, by the way. There was a small Baptist mission that was going on called Gore Range Baptist Church. And we started working there, and my first son came along, and I realized that I had to do more than just attend church. That God expected more of me in leading my family and leading my children and raising my children than just attendance. At about that time, there was a nasty church split that went on. Very ugly. And I can tell you about that sometime, but just know this. Anytime a church divides, it destroys. It destroyed families. It destroyed teenagers that witnessed this. Some of these people divorced within just a few years. Many of them just never went to church ever again. And that's why Christ is so strong against division within the body of Christ. But that forced me, this quiet cowboy, into a leadership role. I wasn't ready for it. But that's what happened. And so I served in many capacities on stewardship committee and building committee and church council, and served as the treasurer for a little bit. I served as a deacon. In fact, I was ordained as a deacon in 1983. And it was all because I had been forced into this role even before I was ready. But there was a need. And then one Sunday, we were still meeting in the Episcopal Church at the time, so we would meet at 10 o'clock. That's why I'm so fond of 10 o'clock start time for worship. But we'd start at 10 o'clock, and the pastor had to wrap up fairly quickly, or else he had the Episcopals coming down the aisle during the invitation time, which maybe wouldn't have been a bad thing. And one Sunday in particular, I can remember it just as clear as day, that God was tugging upon my heart so hard, and I didn't know what he was trying to say. And during that invitation time, I just was so moved, and I just stepped out in the aisle and started for the pastor down the aisle. And I'm sure my wife was going, "What in the world's going on?" The pastor got his big eyes like, "Wait a minute, I know you're saved." And God was calling me to something. And I didn't know what. But I knew that moment I had to say yes. I just had to say yes. And the pastor said, "What to?" I said, "I don't know. But he wants me to say yes." I think it's kind of like what Abraham must have gone through when God said, "Go," and he says, "Okay." He just said yes, right? And that's where I was. So we served for several more years, and then came the opportunity. It was a forced move, basically, to Arizona. I was a cowboy. I grew up ranching. I grew up from the time I was 12 years old. I had full-time summer jobs on the ranch, doing anything and everything that ranchers do. And all I ever wanted to be was a cowboy. And that was ingrained in me, and it was just such a focus that that's all I could see. And I was working for a couple of old guys that were worth millions and millions of dollars, but they kept on to it. They certainly didn't pay their help. And I can remember very, very clearly, one day we went to Walmart because my oldest son needed a pair of tennis shoes. Walmart tennis shoes, right? $1.98 or whatever they are. And I didn't have enough credit on my credit card, and I certainly didn't have cash to buy him a pair of tennis shoes. And immediately it was like, duh, I need to change. I need a change. And so Denise's folks were in Arizona. Some of you may be familiar with the Cordis Junction area. It's by Mare, just down the road from Prescott on I-17 there. And so we moved down there, and I started helping him in a backhoe business. We'd set up trailer lots and stuff like that. But while we were there, we started a mission. And that mission is still in operation today in Cordis Junction. But we had to learn that part of it. And from about March until the end of the year, things were great. And then all of a sudden at Christmas time, the construction industry shut down, which it often does. But in January, it didn't pick up. And February, it didn't pick up. And all of a sudden, I found myself on unemployment. The first time in my life that I was on unemployment. And it killed me. I'd always had a job. I didn't understand. God, what's going on? In about August, July and August, he gave us opportunity to go back where we came from in Kremlin. But during that time, he had to do multiple things. One of the things is he had to get cowboy out of my system. Because that wasn't his plan to use me. And so we came back. I had learned EMS down there, working with the small volunteer fire department. I was able to get a part-time job in Grand County, and in fact, I retired from Grand County with 33 years of service in their emergency medical service there. As a paramedic and deputy chief is what I retired as, but I started at the bottom. And we had to learn that. See, God had to get me out of where I was comfortable into where he needed me to use me. Where he fully was pleased with where I was at. When we got back to Colorado, the pastor that had kind of mentored me was leaving to go back to school for family counseling. And the people came to me and said, would you fill the pulpit for us until we can find somebody? And I said, me? You remember, I'm the shy guy that doesn't speak out much and don't know much Bible. And all of this, and they go, yeah, we need you to. So I, all right, I'll try. That was in August. They licensed me to preach. Not that you need a license to preach, but that's kind of what was done. And about February, they said, we don't think God wants anybody else. You should stay in that position. And so 33 years later, here we are. And I say all of that to illustrate in advance about serving Christ. The passage of scripture that we read in verse 24, the fan turned my page, said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. The first thing you need to understand about serving God is there was going to be a need to deny self. Had I had my way, I would have continued being a cowboy. I'd have been raising horses and doing the cattle thing and probably till the day that I was in the poorhouse. And some of you can recognize how that goes. Like the old cowpoke cartoon that says, if somebody gave me $1 million, I'd just keep on ranching until I lost it all. But when you're working for somebody else, especially those two old misers, it didn't make sense, right? And I'd have loved to still been doing that. But that's not what God had in mind. You see, we tend to incline towards our self-centeredness, our own interests, the things that we like, the things that we want. We focus upon I and me. In fact, me-itis is probably one of the worst diseases in our society today. Did you ever recognize that what the middle letter of sin is? It's I. And so we needed to get self beside. We need to deny self. Because so when we're self-centered, the things of Christ, the things of Jesus, tend to go unnoticed or unimportant. And we don't see to them. And unless we deny ourselves, deny the power of ourself, our selfishness, unless we choose to seek after God's will for our life, unless we settle the idea of lordship of Christ in our lives, that he's on the throne and not me, you're going to fall flat on your face when you try and serve him. So the first thing Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. What is the second? And take up his cross. You see, there's a sacrifice in serving God. And that's probably not the most inviting idea, concept, right? What do you mean I'm going to have to sacrifice? What do you mean am I going to have to give up? What do you mean am I going to have to pick up my cross? And notice it says, pick up my cross daily. Not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Wednesday evenings. But daily, pick up our cross and follow him. It's a giving up of ourselves and our lives in order to follow him. It's a sacrifice. It's giving of ourselves as a living sacrifice, it says in Romans chapter 12. A living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. To who? Not to me, because remember, I denied myself, right? But to God. To take up our cross. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see the idea of sacrifice? If I give up my life, what am I really going to do? Gain true life. Real life. Abundant life, the scripture says. And so, giving it up is hard. But the reward is so much better, so much higher, so much more. And we're going to talk about rewards in just a moment. Whoever is willing to lose their life, those are the ones that gain it. Those are the ones that get the real understanding. Those are the ones who are pleasing in the sight of God. And what is the third thing he says? And follow me. And follow me. You see, when I was in control, I wanted to plan it all out. I wanted to show it. I had a need to make sure I knew where things were going, where things were headed, where I wanted to go or where I wanted to do it. But as I denied myself and gave myself as a sacrifice, I learned that what I needed to do is follow him. Follow him from Kremling, where I grew up, to Arizona. Follow him from Arizona back to Kremling. Follow him from Kremling to Eureka, Montana? Are you kidding me? And yet that's a testimony in of itself, how he prepared and worked in our hearts to bring us to this point, to this place. We're still not sure totally why. We don't understand all of it. But that's where he's got us. And we have learned to become comfortable in the present and where he's got us. Because we don't know what's going on tomorrow. We don't know where that's going to take us. Whether it's financially or physically or what's going on. He's got us here. And we've learned to be content in that. And that's part of what you have to do. You have to follow his plan as best you know it. Jesus said, and follow me. And friends, that's a heavy load. Don't let anyone ever tell you that following Jesus is easy. I can't tell you the number of times that even though we felt like we were full in the will of God, we'd get kicked in the gut. And believe me, this pastorate role, and pray for your pastor and his wife all the time, friends, because that is the hardest job on the face of this earth. Well, maybe raging teenagers is a close second. But you get wounded by people who profess to love Jesus. And you carry the load, the responsibility. Do you know that a teacher, the Bible tells us, is going to be held to a higher standard than a pastor or a teacher, as Ken is? We're going to be held accountable before God for rightly dividing the Word of God. Above and beyond any of the rest of you. Now, that's not to lift us up. That's to help you understand. I never understood how hard it was to be a pastor until I was a pastor. The pastor that mentored me, he used to take a nap every Sunday afternoon. And I always thought, well, why? He just prepares messages all week and gets up there and talks for a while. But when I did my first sermon, I was emotionally, physically wiped out. And still today, this is my second sermon today, by the way. I still carry on a ministry through Far North Ministries with Alan and Denise Pulliam on Facebook Live. We started it back in the COVID days, and I still carry on. And so every Sunday morning about 8 o'clock, I get on Facebook Live and I share a message. We're currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians expositionally. And so this is my second one. So guess what? I deserve a nap this afternoon. Two naps. Can I hear three? It is physically and emotionally exhausting sometimes to serve God. But Jesus also points out that there is rewards that can be found in serving him. Look at verse 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We already talked a little bit about that. Finding true life, finding true meaning. You know, there was that time where everybody had this concept of, I don't know who I am, and I don't know why I'm here, and I don't have any purpose. You want to know purpose? Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, follow him, seek to serve him, and you will have purpose in your life. For that's why he created you. That's what he designed you for, is to serve him and to serve God. And so we trade our lives of discouragement, of unfulfilledness, and we trade it for a life with Christ that is fulfilling, and we find joy, true joy, not happiness. Happiness is dependent upon your situation. But true joy is to be anchored in the rock of Jesus Christ in your salvation. And so we trade that old life out for the new life. A life abundant, the scripture says. That's a good trade. I wish more people would take advantage of that trade. I wish they'd understand how special that is. How fulfilling it is. How just being used by God is amazing. To see his handiwork on your life. To understand the joy of no matter what's going on around me, whether my finances are a mess or my car wouldn't start this morning or last night, or whatever else is going on, that I still have joy because I know that my hope is in heaven, in Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a citizen here. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Verse 26 gives us another one. For what profit it is a man who gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Turning your life over to Christ is priceless. There was that credit card commercial or whatever it was that went on for a while where they'd list a bunch of things and then they would say this thing and it's priceless. What is priceless is your secured salvation in heaven, your citizenship in the person of Jesus Christ, being washed by the blood of the Lamb, being saved. Amen. And knowing that your eternity is secure in the hand of God. And that nothing, and there's that whole list in Romans, but nothing can snatch you out of the hand from the love of Jesus Christ. Man, that's profit. That's more than anything you can imagine. That's priceless. It's priceless. And lastly, in verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Guess what? There's going to come a time, not everybody agrees with me, but I believe the scripture teaches me that there is going to be a rapture. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that remain will be caught up to be with him in heaven. I mean, we have to be caught up before we can come back with him, right? And not everybody agrees, but that's the way we know this. There will be a second coming of Jesus Christ. And he is going to be on the throne, and we are going to, as believers, get an opportunity to serve with him. Whoo, goosebumps, right? We listen to a pastor who calls him chicken skin. Serving side by side with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. Now, not everybody agrees with me on that one. There's some that say, amillennial. And I don't know where they get this idea of no 1,000 years, because in one chapter of Revelation, it mentions 1,000 years, I don't know, 6 or 7 times. Regardless, he is going to come and he's going to rule a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to get to be there with him. My goodness gracious, what better way is there? And not only that, we are going to stand before Christ and he's going to give us the rewards that we have done in his name. Remember the judgment? That all the books are opened and he sees it all. And what does he do with those? He doesn't condemn you, for there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, it says in Romans 8. What he does is he uses those books that record all your efforts. It's all tried by fire. That was not done in his name is burned up, is gone away. And he takes the balance of it and he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here is your reward. Here are your rewards. There's crowns that you can earn. Did you know that? I think there's 6 or 7 crowns. And you're thinking, well, wow, I'm going to look really good in my crown, right? What you're going to do is you're going to cast them at the throne. You're going to, in worship, in that great worship service that's recorded in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where the saints cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. My goodness, I would want my crown bag to be full. And how do I earn those? By serving Christ. It profits me. And he himself will give us those rewards. Next week, we're going to look a little bit more into the idea of serving him. And so I hope that this is enticing you to come back, because I'm taking record. I'm going to know if you're here today and you're not here next Sunday. And I'm going to, no, I don't do that. But first thing you must make certain in your life is that Jesus is truly on the throne of your life. First and foremost, and I'm going to use a little kid's thing, ABCs, the ABCs of salvation. Anybody ever heard of that? There's a few of you have. It's childlike, simple way. It's not the only way, but it's a childlike, simple way of explaining salvation. The A stands for acknowledge or admit that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of your righteousness, you're sitting there going, oh, I'm pretty good. I've done all these things. I give to this charity and that charity, and I love my neighbor, and I do all of these things. But friends, all of that righteousness is as filthy rags, the scripture says. You acknowledge, you admit, you recognize that I'm a sinner, as I did that night in that teepee. I realized that I was separated by God, by the sin in my life. And that the only way to bridge that gap between me and God was through the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing. And so I had to acknowledge, I had to admit, I had to recognize that I was lost. A stands for acknowledge or admit. The B stands for believe. And really, this is the key one. We'll talk about a see here in a moment. But you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You call out to him. You just say, and call is, that'll be the see. I got ahead of myself. But you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place. He paid the penalty of your sin. That he got nailed there in your place. It's a substitutionary type of thing. He didn't deserve it. He lived a sinless life. But he did that for me. He chose. There's a song, and every once in a while I remember lines from songs, and I always say, somebody should write a song about that. Well, somebody did. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. When he came to earth, he knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be crucified, and he still did it. Why? Because he loves me. He loves me. And if I just believe in my mind that he died on the cross in my place, that he was buried, and on that third day he rose again, conquering death, he now has victory over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Christ has conquered it. And the C is for, I already give it away, call, right? Call upon the name of the Lord. And it doesn't have to mean much. Save me, Jesus. Three words. You've called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved or shall be saved, depending on which version you look at. Not maybe, or if you do these other things, or add this, or add that, or take away this, or that. Not if you get better. You see, you don't have to get better to get to Christ. You can't do that. He will make you better after you've called upon his name. And so that's the simple, that's the first thing you need to make sure of. But maybe you're in a place where you're just kind of spinning wheels. You know you're saved. You know that Christ is your Savior. You know that he's kind of on the throne of my heart. But maybe there's something more that you need to do. Maybe there's something he's calling you to. Remember what I said? I didn't know what I was getting called to. I just knew that moment I had to say yes. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're feeling that call. Maybe you're feeling that squirm in your heart. Maybe you're sitting there going, I don't do a whole lot for Christ, but he's tugging on me. He wants me to do something. You start by saying yes. You start by saying, wherever you lead, I'll go. Somebody ought to write a song like that, right? Maybe you're sitting here today and God is calling you to something higher, something greater, something better, something in his plan, not yours. And so we're going to pray. And I'm going to do something that I know is dangerous because it's hot and it's, you've been listening for this monkey for about a half hour or more. But I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. And I want everyone to do this. And I want you just to go before the throne of Christ, before the Lordship of Jesus, and first and foremost ask him, do I need to do something for salvation? Am I saved? Do I know in my heart? Can I point to that time in my history of my life? Where I can say, that's when I said yes to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that today, today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Do that today. And right there where you're sitting, you don't have to get up, you don't have to run down the aisle, you don't have, unless you move to. Right there where you're sitting, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Pray a simple prayer of, I know I'm a sinner. Please come and cleanse me. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. And while all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, if God has impressed upon you to make that statement, to make that choice here today, I just ask you to raise up your hand and lower it down. I'm the only one looking because I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Not out loud, not here, in a private time. Say yes to Jesus. But maybe you're sitting here, and as I've talked, and you've recognized that, wow, God can use even the fool somehow. Maybe he can use me. And if you're sitting here today, and you feel that tug on your heart to make something, a choice, to say yes to the will of God, to attempt to be obedient as best you can, and believe me, you'll stumble, you'll fumble, and Satan will attack you like nothing else. But if you feel like God is calling you to something higher, that you just need to say yes to him, I'd ask you to raise your hand and just up and down. That's all I'm asking. Giving you that opportunity to, between you and God, to say yes to the plan that he has for your life. Father God, I know and I recognize that you work in mysterious ways. And I trust that you've worked in this congregation here today, that you have sent your Spirit to move around and to touch hearts. I sense that there's some here that either have made or need to make a decision for you today. And Lord, I'm praying for them right now. You know who they are. I don't. I don't have to. For I can't do anything about it. But as you call upon their hearts, Lord, and maybe they've made a decision here today. Maybe they would seek me out, or Ken, or Shane, or somebody. Maybe when Pastor Matt gets back, they'd be willing to share what God has led them to do today. And Father God, to your honor and to your glory, Father, work, for your children are listening. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Our next song is number 420 in your hymnals, 420. Song number 420. Yeah. Let's have everybody stand.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, that earthly night for wandering sad and lone. I've left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free to pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou given to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me?
Let me just close quickly in a closing word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, again for bringing us together, for the opportunity we had to worship, to hear from your word, and we pray that you would bless even now as we greet one another as we leave, that you would bless and guide our days ahead for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.